Professor Chad Gibbs, thank you very much for taking your time to come on to Moving Thoughts.
My pleasure.
So what is your position at Bishop's University?
I am contract faculty, which means I can get to teach a variety of courses. I teach for several of the different schools at Bishop's, and it's part-time, but it sure feels full-time, and I really, really love it.
What do you do when you're not working at Bishop's?
sleeping, playing pinball, swimming. I really like to swim. Let's see. Motorcycling in the summer, snowshoeing in the winter. That's really it. Reading. I do like to read. In fact, during the breaks is about the one time when I can get some free reading in. And that time seems pretty rare, though. But I do enjoy that. Pretty quiet life, actually, I'd say. You know, occasional bouts of excitement, usually on a motorcycle.
So what would be the story of how you became a professor at Bishop's University?
Okay. You know, my association with Bishop's begins back in the mid-80s. I've been creeping around Sherbrooke off and on, visiting friends, popping in and out over the decades. 1996, I'm on vacation here, and it's dead of winter. Seemed like a good idea at the time. I spent a week in Sherbrooke, again, visiting friends and walking around the campus. Must have been right before reading week. And I thought, you know, wow, what a great place. Wouldn't it be fantastic to work in a place like this? And the problem was I just had a bachelor's degree. I had no teaching experience. I was doing public relations and, you know, enjoying the job but looking for something new. So that was 1996. I actually met with a couple of the Bishop's professors who were very gracious to talk to me. One of them, Glenn Wickens, met him in his office. And we talked about the English department and composition and directions I could take. And it seemed like quite a dream, but figured, what if in 10 years could that happen? Well, went back to grad school, Boise State, and really loved it. And while I was there, started teaching. And after I got, I got my degree, continued to teach it at Boise State for a couple years, and then decided I wanted to go somewhere else and was looking at several options. One of them was Canada. I went through the Quebec selection process and came to Quebec, and first thing I did was sent my CV into Bishop's, and it's just a great matter of timing. And there was an opening, it was for a 116 course, effective writing, and I love that course. It's how I got my start. And that was in fall of 2004, and been fairly steady ever since, and really have enjoyed my time here.
So what is it about Bishop's University that draws you to it?
Oh, certainly atmosphere, population of the student body, student body size. It's small enough that you can begin to get to know a lot of different students. I get the benefit, too. Not only do I teach at Bishop's, I also teach at Champlain. And I sometimes get to see students for 5-6 years. I really get to see them grow, develop. It's great. The atmosphere at Bishop's, it's a teacher's dream, I would have to say. We get so much freedom and, I don't know, the chance to experiment with new teaching styles, new assignments. We're encouraged to develop programs that are both, you know, certainly intriguing and educational, and you know, will push students, push their skills, pique their knowledge, or pique their curiosity. Excuse me. And it's just a great place to teach. I get the benefit too of working contract. I get to teach at several different places, and so I get to see the campus from a couple different perspectives too. I see younger students coming in again from Champlain. I kind of know their stories beforehand, and it's great being able to teach sometimes fourth, fifth years too, as they're figuring out what they want to do and get to, I don't know, maybe give them a chance to think about writing or nonfiction or, again, some of the other courses that I really love to teach.
So what is your favorite class at Bishop University? Although I feel that is a bit of a loaded question for you, I would assume you have several favorite classes.
You know, I do. And again, like I said before, it's a real teacher's dream. And, you know, they encourage us to develop courses. And, you know, my favorite ones are the ones that I really got to see from start to completion, again, from the first, second, third course. The first one would have to be new journalism, looking at creative nonfiction, turning truth inside out. Some of my favorite writers: Hunter S. Thompson, Tom Wolfe, Truman Capote, John Berndt. This is where I did my master's work, was a lot of creative nonfiction. And that was the first course I got to develop. The English department was looking to expand and bring in journalism, and journalism, certainly traditional journalism. And this was a literary approach to journalism that I've always been fascinated with. Again, my background was news writing. Right out of school, I got into journalism, public relations, advertising, and those things were great, paid the bills. It was fun to be a pro writer. When I went back to school, I found that creative nonfiction was something I was really drawn to, because I felt like when I was writing news that sometimes, you know, things were missing, or, you know, could I tell more of a story? And I found that subjectivity, that voice coming through in writers like Hunter S. Thompson, Tom Wolfe, Truman Capote. And so developing that course was a lot of fun. It's one of my favorites. I love talking. It's such a tiny slice of literary history, you know, maybe about 12 years where they're really developing it. But so much is going on historically that it really makes it's how you should be writing about nonfiction.
So what does the class cover? What materials does it explore?
You know, again, we take a look at how do you approach truth? And, you know, in journalism, it's you try to stay fairly objective. And when we get into studying new journalism, we look how subjectivity, you know, Can I get into the mind of another person? You try it. You see that journalists are applying novel writing techniques, and novelists are applying journalistic techniques. There's a great crossover between both of these two, or coming from both of these different directions, that makes for some really great literature throughout the 60s and early 70s.
So what will be another course as you teach at Bishop's University?
Certainly another one of my favorites would be the graphic novels course. And that was another one that I got to develop. And again, getting paid to talk about what you love, getting paid to talk about things that, you know, I've loved since I was a kid. Watch this, you know, the graphic novels, quote, become legitimized. You know, I was still busy collecting, you know, the weekly comics, loved guys in spandex, slugging it out. You know, that was great. And as a kid, it was a lot of fun. But now seeing it becoming really an amazing literary form, art form, that I think is a lot of fun to study. There's so much history that is brought in, and also so much creativity and approaches to mythology and storytelling that graphic novels really lend themselves well to certain kinds of storytelling.
So what would be one of the graphic novels you look at in this class?
It varies. Sometimes semester to semester, I try to bring in at least one or two different graphic novels. There's some that remain constant. You know, I love Watchmen. I think the story is so complex. I think the characters are interesting. The way that the book is set up, with the sort of metafictive parts at the end of each chapter, the storylines that flow in and out, the origins that are told, sort of spaced almost evenly throughout the storytelling. It was a great story. Again, it's something you really have to read start to finish. It was difficult when it was being released throughout 12 months trying to keep track of the story, but now that you can see it all together, it's so good. And Mouse, as far as nonfiction goes, one of my favorites, I think one of the truly great graphic novels. You know, a story of the Holocaust, certainly at one level, a story of a father and son on another, story of culture, story of history. There's so many ways to approach it. And again, watching, to get back to creative nonfiction, seeing how an artist slash writer, how is he going to tell this story? And he finds this form that works so well in graphic novels, panel to panel, shifting from time, shifting, you know, scene. Flowing so well, and again using mice that by, you know, page one, two, or three, you don't even notice that these are mice talking to you. It's done so well. It's one of my favorites. I'll always want to use Mouse and Watchmen too. Then I like bringing in other of my favorites just for fun.
So what would be a third class you teach at Bishop's University?
This is one of the great things about being contract, is a course through the Williams School of Business. I'm teaching marketing communication this semester. And it's great to see, again, there is a bit of a difference in student personalities, and this is a business course. I'm very, very proud to be a very small part of a very great program. And again, I'd say, you know, both English and Williams School of Business, Modern Languages, all the programs that I work with, I really benefit from my associations with all of them. The marketing communication course is a lot of fun because it takes me back to what I did when I got out of school and working on public relations, advertising, you know, other communication. I've done technical writing over the years. It allows me to get back into, you know, what I was paid for and some of my professional experiences and get into bringing some creativity into a business course. Again, certainly with marketing communication, advertising lends itself very well to bringing in some creative, more creatively oriented assignments. And the students do well. Again, it's a lot of fun. I really enjoy teaching. I never thought I would teach a business course, and I really thoroughly enjoy it.
Outside of classes, what research or academic projects do you engage in?
I don't quite have the time to do as much research as I actually would like to do. I do have a couple ideas, and I'm gathering materials that, you know, one day I would like to turn into a research project. One of them is the graphic novels class that I've been doing at Bishop's, and one at Champlain certainly too. But the one at Bishop's, some of the projects I've been getting in, these final projects, I've asked students to send me in too. It's part of the publication process. It's also ulterior motives. I get to keep a copy. And so I've been keeping copies now for about, 3 years. And I've got some amazing pieces of work that I would like to, again, I think being able to spend some time with some of these. I would like to do some research into bringing visual rhetoric into class assignments, presentations, visual approaches to visual rhetoric, how I can get images, color, shapes, whatever to speak for me. I see students, again, who are trying this form, again, coming up with a graphic novel for the very first time. And sometimes in these very, very raw attempts, there's a lot of beauty. You can find some really amazing technique, things that haven't been perhaps exploited before because they haven't been, again, exposed to this is their first exposure maybe to graphic novels, so this freshness comes through, and some of the storytelling is top notch again, and some of the artwork too. So I would love to one day be able to present some research findings on some of these creative approaches to storytelling that I'm seeing from Bishop students.
So what involvement do you have in the Lenoxville and Sherbrooke communities?
Okay, I try not to speed. I try to keep the laws. I try to be a good citizen, you know, that sort of thing. But again, I really also enjoy that quiet life. But I believe that you should be involved in the community in which you live. I was on the board of directors for CJMQ for a while. Again, my teaching schedule just got a little too intense, and they were very understanding. I wasn't able to continue with that. At Bishop's, I'm on Faculty Senate, which I know it kind of focuses on the university committee, but very happy to be a part of the contract representative for Faculty Senate. Also a contract representative for APBU on the union. So it's allowing me to certainly get to know the university community more. And, you know, that's the thing. Quite often as contract, sometimes we're a bit on the fringe or on the edge. And, it, you know, I got to say, I've never felt that way. I've always felt like I've been a part of the university, and I say people have been very welcoming to me, and so it's I feel like I'm in a very interesting position where I get to understand perhaps a little bit more of the inner workings of Bishop's, and I really enjoy being a part of that community. As far as the community at large, I love being a part of Lenoxville. I live in Lenoxville, it's a great community where I could say, you know, I'm part of this, and I love the atmosphere of the place, it's a place where I'd really like to spend the rest of my life. So, you know, certainly, you know, I like the quiet part of things. I like joining in on the fun when it's happening here in Lenoxville.
So what would be your favorite part of the Eastern Townships in total?
You mean as far as like the city or the geography of it or
anything about the Eastern Townships?
You know, I was always drawn to the green rolling hills. You know, I'm not a real flatlander. I need a little dynamic space. I love that. You know, the great thing about Sherbrooke is you can't see all of it from one spot. You know, it's tucked around the hills, and you know, and in the summer it gets so green. Too. I grew up out west, and I grew up in pretty much a desert. So for me, when this place just explodes in green trees in the summer, I just, it's so relaxing. You know, the air is clean. I think people are friendly. It's a great culture to be a part of. And you know, people, you know, growing up in the States and coming here, you know, it's a change. It's a change I really love, though, and you know, that's why it feels like an adventure for me.
So I want to bring your attention back to the graphic novel courses you teach. Sure. And one of my interests is graphic noveling. Yeah. So I think that we should just dive into the subject a little deeper. Yeah. just for the heck of it, you know. So what graphic novels do you want to teach in that class but haven't really brought in?
Well, there's some that are out of print. You know, the good thing about Watchmen is that it's going to be around for a long time. Again, it's very popular. The one that I was actually reading when Watchmen was coming out, there was another title I was more into, was Martial Law. This great dystopian, weird superhero, bizarre, crazy, pushing all sorts of, at the time, pushing all sorts of boundaries as far as like violent sex, in graphic form. It was a great 6-issue story. I really loved it, and I would love to teach it almost in place of Watchmen sometimes, because they have, you know, somewhat similar themes running through it. It's just, it's hard to find. It's out of print. When I started this semester, I was looking for it, and you know, I found like 15 copies in England, and you know, here's 12 in the States, and you know, it's going to be a little bit difficult to find. There's some other shorter ones too that I really like. Martha Washington Goes to War, by the artist of Watchmen and the writer of Dark Knight. Very interesting storyline. Created this character, Martha Washington, was very interesting. Explores racism. Ministry of Space, another one. This from England that also explores racism. There's so many great stories out there on the nonfiction side. Blankets. So good. And Stitches, a couple of titles that I really, really love. Again, is nonfiction. I would love to do a, you know, I think one semester, you know, I might just focus on nonfiction graphic novels would be kind of fun. But then, you know, I feel bad. I feel like I'm ignoring Batman and Dr. Manhattan. And how could I do that? The thing is it's a medium that continues just to grow and evolve. And you know, people come up to me and say, "Oh, have you read this? Have you read this?" And that's the great thing about this course is these journeys generally become quite individualized as people find what they like. They find artists, they find storylines, they find characters that they really can latch onto, and then you see different versions of them. That's why the what ifs are so good. Alterniverse, Elseworlds, whatever you want to call them, where we take the familiar and, you know, what if? Again, that's the best question that I see in comic books is what if. And you can do it with running storylines, or let's take something and turn it on its head. You know, and what if? Let's talk about nonfiction. You know, what if I were to tell my story, you know, this particular way? It's such an exciting genre, and so it's great to get to teach it.
So for those people who don't read comic books or graphic novels, what should they know about the medium of comic books and graphic novels that is interesting and unique?
I think what draws people immediately to graphic novels is it takes you back to, you know, the first stories that you read or read to you as a kid. They had pictures, and I never outgrew pictures in books. And that it happens, though, and you know, certainly serious literature. One of the things where, you know, with the printing press, it was word-based. You know, we couldn't put in graphics. It was one of the things we study is, like, when did pictures start coming back into mass-produced, you know, reading materials? And, you know, it now that it's so much easier to bring in graphic elements, to bring in color, shape, and printing, it's, you know, the expense drops and you have self-publishing again. There's so many ways that you can approach this, and I think we're drawn back to those stories. And again, when, you know, if that picture is worth a thousand words, well, you know, certainly it's going to complement a comic book panel. And you start, you get, you know, the word bubbles can be so slight, you know, and some or narrative blocks, whatever, sometimes. But what is going on in the background? I mean, artists are taking these tiny panels very seriously. And so you start looking for clues and you see how they sort of really enhance each other.
Well, Professor Chad Gibbs, thank you very much for your time and for coming on The Moving Thoughts.
Been my pleasure.
All right. Have a good day.
Thank you.